This morning we're going to have a marathon session.
We are supposed to cover so much, so we'll see how we can go. And we want to look at the tabernacle today. We have been coming in and out of the tabernacle. So today we will try to take it all together from beginning to the end. So that's quite an ambition. Our Father, we thank you very much for being very gracious to us. Thank you for your words and your thoughts for us is that we will stop giving suck. That life will not be drained out of us. But that we should be hooked up to heaven, and that the whole rivers of heaven will give life to us.
Amen.
Will bring resurrection. We speak of resurrection in our relationships. Relationships. Resurrection in our mind, emotions, and desire. Resurrection in our workplaces. Resurrection and liberty and jubilee all around us. That everything will be touched. That this river will bring life. Where there has been death, there will be life. Where there has been blindness, there will be open vision. Where there has been a blockage of hearing from you, your voice will be very clear. We will descend, we will hear the voice. The trumpet of the Lord will sound very clear. Lord, we look to a raising up, a quickening, strength where there is weakness. Even every disease, everything that is contrary in our bodies, today we receive life. Even at this time we receive life and vitality. Let the very energy of heaven be given to us. We come to eat that bread. Bless your name, because you are the living bread, which is if any man will eat, he will be raised up. We receive that strength to raise us up at this last day, that we might be overcome. We bless your name. We glorify you. That we might know you and remember you afresh as love. We ask for a tenderness, a fondness. We ask, Lord, for a very personal knowledge and walk into you. Lord, that your voice will be fresh to us. And there will be excitement in our hearts concerning you. Just bless your name. We pray that the ministry of your word will bring life. Lord, let this be an open book. Give us an open vision. Let that be seed for the sower.
Amen.
A very fresh bread. The very sure bread of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Let it be served to us, O God.
Amen.
With wine, even the very sweet wine.
Yes, Jesus.
My God, the very best of heaven.
Amen.
Will come today, O God, and might feed us. Feed us, Lord, my one more and more.
Amen.
Blessed be.
Hallelujah.
Let the entrance of your word be life. Strength and deliverance and vitality.
Yes.
As we come under the shadow of your love. Blessed be your name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 So it's a very long journey. So let's start. So we are talking about the tabernacle. I said the right thing. If it's not in the tabernacle, it's not in the Bible. So anything you cannot fit, you cannot finding it at home, then it's not there. Because if this is a summary, everything is all, it answers to everything. How shall we go? Okay, so let me put up a picture of the tabernacle. It'll be better this way, but drawing. So the drawing has three segments, showing the three segments, the three realms of heaven, or three segments, or however you want to call it. But this is called the outer court. This is the holy place. And then this one is the most holy place. Now, this is what Moses built. This was a pattern that was given to Moses. When Solomon was going to build, he built on the same pattern. So I will write Solomon. When Herod was going to build on the one, you know, it was destroyed. This one was temporary. Solomon built his own. In 586 BC, it was destroyed. So this is you can find it in the museum. You can go and read it. So it's not story, it's reality. And then Zerubbabel came and built, but a master builder called Herod came and built and improved on it. And by the way, it was destroyed in AD 70. So these are all verifiable. You can go and check. If you have your Google, you can check it. Okay, so these are the timeline of the tabernacle. In between, there's a chap called David. He came when the tabernacle was carried, and he wanted to put it properly. He built something else called the Tabernacle of David. I will find this mentioned in Acts 15. Where he said, I will raise again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. According to what someone happens to saw, a young man called Amos. Amos 9:11. Okay, so we are from inside many years ago that God will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen down. And raise it up. You can write down the questions if you miss any point, because there are so many things I'm trying to take it all together. But the difference between all this one and David's own was very peculiar, because the tabernacle of David, I put up a small structure here, only had the ark. You didn't have all these veils. So it was a prophetic declaration, because the glory of God could be seen by anybody. Okay. But this one, you have to go in before you get in there. So it was a prophecy. This is actually walking towards this one. Okay, so David came and set up that tabernacle at that time. So we have this picture. But our main interest is the real tabernacle. So let me see if you can recognize this one. This is the main tabernacle. So this is the soul, this is the body, and this is the spirit. But that's not all about the story here. This one is unique because the spirit of man is linked to the Holy Spirit, which is linked to Christ and then to the Father. So this is the real temple. That's you. But this was a forerunner, a type of what is going to happen here. So let's look at the scriptures. When we look at John chapter 2, John chapter 2 is the basic scripture here. Now, Jesus said, if you destroy the temple, then he will raise it up in 2 days or in 3 days. Okay, so today they are celebrating the day Jesus was raised up. So it's good that we're talking of tabernacle today. Alright. So 2:19, what does it say? It says, you destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up.
John 2:19. Yes. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.
Okay. So he was speaking of this temple, the one Herod had built, because they were showing him the beautiful picture, and it was really magnificent. And he says, you guys are really missing me. He said, I'm talking to you about another temple, the real temple. That this one, if you destroy this one, I'll raise up another one. And the Bible says he was speaking of the temple of his body. Okay. So he was saying that the temple of God, the dwelling place of God, is man. You are the temple of the living God. But God told Moses, I want you to build me a temple, a sanctuary, that I may dwell in, I may live in. So one of the basic natures of the soul is a dwelling place of spirits. The soul is the basic dwelling place of spirits. When we talk of soul, we are looking at four different realms. The mind, the emotion, the desire, and the will. The ego, the lion, you won't find serpent there, but you'll see the face of a fallen man. I put for serpent nature, fallen man. So there's a fallen man. And then here you see an ox. So you're looking at four different realms. And he's saying, God says that this soul is the dwelling place of God. Now, the soul has seven main natures. So we'll be giving up and down. The soul has seven main natures. The first one is that God created every soul. So let me say the natures of the soul. God created every soul to be a priest, to have the ability to bring an offering, to have the ability to worship. Now, this nature of priesthood runs in two ways: to be a priest of darkness, or to be a priest of God. That means to worship devils or to worship God. To be a temple of idols or to be a temple of God. So, one of the basic natures. So, as a temple of God, we are called to be priests after the order of Melchizedek. That's a very big language. Melchizedek, that is our priesthood. But before that time, you have another priesthood of Aaron. But Aaron is a much smaller priesthood because it was a temporary priesthood. Right now, God has closed it to finish with it. Alright? Aaron came, and God made an end of Aaron. When they broke that veil, Aaron was sacked. But there is a real priesthood, it's an eternal priesthood. Without beginning of days, without end of days. And Christ is the embodiment or the high priest of this priesthood. So you and I are being called to be a priest, and we are believers. So every believer is a priest according to this order of Christ. So this is the priesthood of Christ or Melchizedek, or the priesthood of God or devils, gods and idols. Next, the soul has the nature to be married, to be joined. Now, scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1:6, I think. 1 Corinthians 6 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Your soul can be married to a spirit. Can also invite to the wrong spirit. So your soul is either a bride of Christ, a bride of Christ. That woman you see there in the Bible, anywhere you see woman in the Bible, it means church. It's speaking of you. In the spirit, it's also speaking of your soul, because the soul must. The soul is a feminine lower spirit, so will always be overshadowed by the bigger spirit. Okay. So it says he has made man a little lower than the angel. So when you are fighting, dealing with spirits, the spirits are operating at a higher level. So it will naturally overshadow you. But if you are overshadowed by Christ, which is a bigger spirit. So when you are involved in spiritual warfare, Bible says we are seated in Christ, in the heavenly places, above what? All principality and powers. So when you are coming against the devil, you must come with the knowledge that you are coming from a higher position. But if you are fighting on your own strength, then you are God. But if you are in Christ, then you are on a much more higher level. And it's based on this principle. So the soul can be joined to Christ, or to be joined to, can be a harlot, married to different spirits. The third nature is that God has given you the inheritance to be a son, to rule and have dominion. So God has called us to rule and to have dominion as sons. So I can, in Christ, I am called to rule. But if I'm not ruling, if I'm under elements of, it says that the child, even though he's a heir, is what? Under tutors and governors, and is bonded to the elements, to traditions, to festivals, culture, all those things. It's because the soul has not come into that place of dominion. In fact, the soul within you is a weakling, is a slave to sin. Slave, you see, whatever spirit you submit to, you are a servant of that spirit. So, the soul can be a servant or to have dominion as a son of God. Fourth, this is actually where we're coming to. The soul is a habitation of spirits. It's a dwelling place, it's a house. habitation of spirits. It's like a garden. The soul is like a garden. That garden of Eden is speaking of this. It's a place where God comes to walk and have fellowship. Okay? Because Solomon says that my beloved has come to his garden. So you are the place where God comes to get ministry and fellowship. Alright, so you can be a temple or a garden. Now, opposite of that, what makes a garden is a supply of life, a river. Any place you do not have river, like I hear, it has not rained there, is that correct? So everybody is afraid of what? So, when there is no water, the soul becomes a wilderness. A dry land. Dry, no source of light. He said, my soul tested for thee. In a dry, and what? Tested land. Now, it happens so, there has been a river flowing from Eden. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, it says that God created the garden, and there was a river flowing in it. And that river has four streams. Where do you think it's going to? Those are the rivers coming to your emotion. Good. The other day was thinking about, she tentatively asked a question about the feeding of the soul. Okay? This is of interest to young people and also old people. The feeding of the soul. God created your emotion. He is in the best position to nourish it. And there's a river coming from God to nourish your emotion. Alright? It's the best nourishment. So there's the point is that when sin comes, it causes all that river. So the soul dries up and begins to scratch around the earth, looking for life. It will never succeed. Alright? There's a man called Hubert Humphrey. How many of you know Hubert Humphrey? One of the wealthiest men ever to live on earth. How did he die? He committed suicide. I don't know, but did he get to it? He died a miserable man with all the money. Money doesn't bring happiness. Money doesn't bring happiness. You have the. You have money. You know? So the rituals, they were happy. What do you say? That's more like it. You got it. As you very said, you were a very busy man. 1,000 wives, 300. 700 guys. So it was a very busy man. And at the end of the day, it's a vanity. All is
vanity.
Okay? So he's telling you about the wilderness of the soul. The wilderness of life. You know? So if I give give myself to every pleasure, anything my soul wanted, I give. We can go ask Rome. Mighty Rome. Rome rules the world. Pax Romana. They will rule the world. The rest room today, they are struggling with bankruptcy. They have declared, they can't even meet their financial obligation. The other one, Britain, down the road, God is still coming to address them. But they're sporting gay marriage all over the place. When God will knock on their door, they will know. It's still coming. So, the wilderness is peace of the soul, the appetite. God can change the appetite. And that is as flowing into it. You understand? So, your task, and my task is, what can I do to switch on that river? That channel. Yes, but there's an answer. Ezekiel 47. What does it say? It says there's a river coming from the temple. What's your number? And that this river it increases. I can increase it. I can walk into it. And I get to a point where it's flowing every day. In fact, you have to say, God, can we switch it off for a while? Let me just rest. If you really get to it. Alright. So this is a very critical principle of the soul, because we are going to get into it. I'm just trying to give us the background so that we can understand. So because all these principles run through the tabernacle and they run through the whole Bible. Now, the fifth one follows very closely. Energy. Without energy, without power, it's not going to function. So we can move energy source. And there are two energies. So, God, can you open to that Luke 11? Let's read it. So there are two energy sources in the whole world. Light and darkness. And this is the energy that flows, that quickens the soul. Read it for I think 11, where are you? 11:32? Luke 11:32, where is that?
Luke 11:32. The man of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Really, go on. Read 33 and 34.
33. No man, when he hath lightened the candle, putteth it
no,
in the...
No, go to 34.
34. The light of the body is the eye.
Good.
Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body is also full of darkness.
Luke 35.
35. I take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness.
Good. So Jesus is saying that there are two types of energy. The light in your soul may be darkness. And the light in your soul may be light also. And God will say, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. So the soul can be powered by two energy sources. Darkness or light. And each one of these principles, they all increase in intensity. They grow in fullness. If I these ones are very small lights. If there's another size, you have another type of light you bring in this room, everything is blazing. So light increases. And God is light. So when we come to God, we are just at the fringes. We are still coming into light. And that is as reflected in my soul. So the more light that shines in my soul, the more I'm closer to God. Amen. When we are very far from God, we think we are alright. But the closer you are to God, the fact you know that you are nowhere. Okay. So the soul has these two energy sources. And I was showing you right there, the devil sits on darkness. And the darkness is in my soul. And it is in the devil's interest that my soul will continue to dwell in a low place so that he will continue to feed on me. So the devil will play all kinds of tricks. He has one endpoint. He is looking for darkness. He wants to keep me in that low place. You know? Do you know darkness in moody, hatred? Bible says, out of the heart of man proceed towards darkness. So darkness is down in the soul. And that's what the church does not understand. Church is Mungo Kabawe. But God is looking at darkness and say, can't these guys get to business? Let us expunge this darkness out of the soul. Amen. So church is become a routine. And that's what God says, I'm saying that your offerings and sacrifices are an offense to me. God is looking at the offering of the heart, so that He can get down to business and work with us to overcome the darkness, get the darkness out of the soul. Mm-hmm. So, when I have the understanding of that, then I am coming into maturity. I'm becoming a son. Because that is the place where darkness is. That's where God wants to dwell, at His house. And God cannot dwell with light, with cannot behold evil, cannot dwell with, you know, what is corrupt. So we'll do two more, and then we're done. Now, apart from that, the soul is a natural minister of God. The soul is a priest. I want you to understand. If you don't understand anything, your soul is the priest of God. It's not different, you know, but this is a ministry. This is, you know, is a priest to God. This is a ministry. The soul is a priest, but see, it ministers and brings forth either life or death. So there's a ministry of life and there's a ministry of death. You know. But it goes together with the first one, in the sense that today, when you think about a priest, you think of someone who's wearing a round collar, who wants to go to America and buy shirt, who wants to do all those things. That is the definition of a priest, a pastor. As you guys will call it, you call it a pastor. And you know, in East Africa, pastor is a profession. And they are trying to copy Nigeria, which is copying America. So that whole, you know, flow is failed. Alright, but the truth is that my soul is a minister of life.
Amen.
Or can also be a minister of death. Amen. Depending on the condition of my soul or my heart. Yeah. This one I won't want to go into so much because I'll probably take it later. Because it's, you know, the thing about darkness and death is that it's an energy that is always increasing. When you keep a piece of bread on this table, you come back 2 years later, it's still there, but it has gained in the energy of darkness. It has become more decayed. Alright? Now, the soul has fallen, and every day it's falling, it's always falling. Amen. So, if you don't pray for 3 days, I can tell you what will happen. The next day, it will be more difficult to pray. The following day, in fact, you'll be going to Nakoma as long as you're going to church. And you'll be very, very happy. In 2 weeks' time, you'll be heading for London when others are going for church. And you will excuse the need, you'll be fine. That is the nature of it. So it has the ability to depart from God naturally. So to overcome, you must put in a traction, you must put in an energy to pull it forward. And someone says, my soul following hard after you. Have you seen it before? Mm-hmm. Yes, you're following God, you must follow hard. You must push. You say that the kingdom of God suffers violence. And what happens? Men of violence do what?
Take it
by force. There are no gentlemen in the kingdom of God. Say, therefore, I don't want trouble. Just go your way. No problem. You know, I'm married to Jesus, Satan, leave me alone. My husband is coming to take me to heaven. The devil doesn't understand that. Because he's a violent man. And you need more violence to jam him and put him down. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then the final one. Fellowship. So we have Zion and Babylon. So the soul lives in the community. You're not the only one. Your soul lives in the community. Zion. Okay, Hebrews 12 says, we have come, not that we are going to come. You don't need to understand how you say, for we are come to Mount Zion. Amen. And everybody is there. the church of the firstborn, the spirits of just men, angels are there, Jesus is there, and the blood is also there speaking on our behalf. Amen. That's where I am now, and that's where you are now. And we are growing, we are rising up. But you know, Zion is a very deep place, very high place in God. People are different levels. Amen. So they are climbing to go. So this summarizes the basic principles we find in the tabernacle. Alright? Now, when we start out, we are starting out as a people who are not a people. My soul is not a Zion. My soul is a habitation of devils. My soul is filled on darkness. My soul is a priest of darkness. My soul is a servant, a slave, doing servant work. There's only one logical place I must come to. Where is that? I must come to a place of judgment. And that is the story of the brazen altar. So some people will put something else like this. I'm sure you understand this one easily. That is a cross. Uncompromising, brute, no brother, no friend, no foe. It has one job to do, must kill anything on the cross. And it's a slow death. Amen. Yeah. So, the soul must come to a place of judgment. But if we leave it here, it will actually be making it look very, very simple. And that's why many of us, you know, when we talk of the soul, it's like, well, it's not, you know, the Greeks, they just try something. They began to study the soul. The Latin people also came. They began to study the soul. All those rascal boys, Aristotle, Plato, what's their name? All those three places. What's their name again? So all those ones. Even down the road, people like all these people who say they're philosophers. There are many of them around. Franz Fanon, all those people running around. Sigmund Freud, all those boys were running around. They were just playing around with one millionth of what we're doing. So I'm not talking about the academic soul. Because the academic soul is not, they teach us psychiatry, psychology, we're not going there at all. Alright? We are going into the world and we're digging into it. Now there is something that we need to, another principle that we need that we can move. Now I will draw this. Actually, this should not have an end. But there is a line here called eternity. So this should actually be this way. And then this is time. That summarizes the whole story. So God, it's a God without time. How is that? The Romans, they talk about chronos, time, you know, the use of time. So they'll tell you alpha, this is alpha, you know. If there's alpha, then what's the word? And God says, I am alpha and omega.
Hallelujah.
One person alone. He is the alpha, he is the omega. He says, the God that was, that is, and is to come. Amen. So that is it. Very interesting. But see, God has brought forth time. Because he wants a son. He talked about it already. He wants a man the soul that will overcome darkness. That's the bigger picture, the big game. So this whole thing is about darkness. Alright? And God had allowed, so at the beginning of time, darkness entered into the soul of man. So it's the base here. Darkness entered into the soul of man. So you have the Old Testament. It's the foundation. In the Old Testament, God couldn't do much. Remember, the darkness is down in the soul. Deep, 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 deep down. He went there and God. So let me say how God will deal with it. So God couldn't do much. So the best God could do was to set up this tabernacle. It's this one. So Moses, okay, you're going to build me a sanctuary at our dwelling. Alright? But this sanctuary was just speaking of what is going to happen, the reality that is going to come. Alright? So we have this. Then God says, I will have a man. So Jesus comes and says, well, now game has changed. The tabernacle is no longer a physical building. I am now the tabernacle. Alright, so here is Jesus. Or this is our New Testament. Alright. Now who is this man? We've already spoken about this man. This man has a body. This man has a soul. And this man has a spirit. So game has changed. So God is getting closer now where he wants, where he's going to, because he's targeting the darkness. So we can now build something else on top here. Because we know God is interested in the soul, isn't it? So here is our soul. Alright? But it's not that this soul is something, there's nothing like it in the whole of the world. There are four realms within you. That means the universe in you is bigger than the one outside. Do you know that? And every day they are discovering more universes, more planets, more, you know, all kinds of things. There's no wasting time because the one inside is bigger than the one out. So how big is this world? That the realm in you is bigger than the one outside. Amen. Because we are his dwelling place. And then of course we know the soul has this form, the mind, emotion, and all that. So when you speak about the mind, emotion, we are looking at depths. Now, let's talk about the soul. The soul has two realms. The conscious and the unconscious. The body also has two realms. The conscious and the unconscious. For instance, if you put your hand here now, so if you see something happening, you will be feeling some movement. What is it? It's your heart. You are not in control of the movement of your heart. If not, many people would have died a long ago because when you are tired, you just switch it off and that's the end. So God took it out of you. Your breathing is out of you. Many other functions are beyond your conscious level. Alright? That's body. How much more the spirit? Spirit also has more. So there is the conscious dimension of the spirit and the unconscious dimension of the spirit. Let me give you a scripture. He said that when God comes and plants a seed, what does he say? And that the devil comes and does away, catches it out. Because we don't have understanding. In other words, the devil has access to your understanding. The devil has access into the depths of your soul, of your emotions. Alright? Some things you are doing, you don't know who you are, you don't know what did they happen. Why do I behave like this? So to overcome, you need to dig deeper. That's why we are going where we are going to. Okay, now I study to be a doctor. That is just my natural mind. You understand? My natural emotion also goes with it because, you know, doctors have a special way of work. Alright? They have the personality. So every all those aspects are you know, but it's just the natural, just the physical dimension that have been attached. And how about the deeper realms of my soul? Okay, so essentially there are two. When you sleep, what's going on? The natural is switched off, and then spiritual comes alive, and you begin to walk around. You get involved. Is that still part of the gospel? Is God interested in that? Does God have a solution for that? Amen. So how can you say you are saved when you have not addressed the depths of your emotions and your desires and your will? Okay. So that's why God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All your mind. All your soul. All your spirit. Everything in you is for God. Amen. So I belong to those who say everything is going for God. We're not leaving anything in Egypt. Everything must come out.
Amen.
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 So the gospel of Christ has a solution for everything. So the power of God is, there is power unto the salvation of God. The gospel of Christ is powerful to bring total deliverance to us. Amen. So we have the soul then, but the soul has a head, and that is the mind. Amen. Now, the soul and the mind have a very important, very interesting, there's another important principle we must start before I go into the tabernacle. If you hold this, if you hold this one, four of them, you know four? They're all on the face. How come? Why is the mouth not on the leg? How come all the senses are on the head? It's something for you to think about. Okay? Now, the Bible says, he that created the eye, does he not see? He that created the ears, does he not hear? Can a blind mind see God?
Yes.
Ah, which eye does he use? Yeah, the one pushing it. Okay, good. So, all the senses you see on your body is where? Also in your soul. Amen. Very important. So, with your soul, you hear God. With your mind, you see God. With your mind, you hear God. With your mind, you feel God. In fact, there is an inner man in you compared to the outer man. Amen. Now, a man that is born into the world is dead. You know why he's dead? He is not aware of his inward man. His inward man is shut down. Everything is shut down. He doesn't know who God is. Let me go to Johnny Church. Let me go to Nairobi's first law. I go and have fun. Because the man is dead. The man cannot see God, he cannot hear God, cannot respond to God. Okay, so the soul deals with senses. There are senses in the inward man. Amen. For instance, Jesus said, they say if a man is born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. So there is a starting point for this inward man. There's a starting point for the inward man. And that is this aura. So you have these four natures here. And these ones will speak to what? To the different dimensions of the soul. We'll also speak of the mind. And we'll also speak of the senses. So when we speak about the raising altar, God is judging this whole realm. He's dealing with your soul. He's dealing with your mind. He's dealing with the senses. Amen. The mind itself has different dimensions. But Lord, I'm not going to go there. It will take us out of the mess of God. The mind itself has different dimensions. And one of the dimensions of the mind is the conscience.
Ayakocha also has dimensions. So we're not going there. So let's talk at the level of the mind for now. Okay? So the brazen altar is the first place where God meets with man. The fallen man. He comes to the first experience in God is that he comes to the brazen altar. So this is the fallen man. The fallen man comes to the brazen altar. And when the soul comes to the brazen altar, the major element is what? It's blood. So you are hearing the gospel. The gospel is bringing a message to the mind, to the soul, to the senses, to the whole realm. So let's read to see what it is saying. Leviticus 17. Say, for the life, don't seem less strong. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Let me just deal with something that is commonly taught in the churches. I just deal with it and pass. Now, man, you are soul. You are not spirit. You have a spirit from God. Ecclesiastes says, man has a spirit from God. When man dies, the spirit goes back to God that gave it. The body, you know where it goes. Oxygen to nitrogen, hydrogen, all those things, they go back to where they came from. The soul goes to God for the body. It's appointed unto man once to die.
Yes.
Thereafter, to be dead. Some people are saying man is a spirit. The Bible didn't say the spirit that sinners shall die. Is that what the Bible says?
The soul.
The emotion that sins.
No.
The will that sins.
No.
The mind that sins.
No.
The desire that sins. These are the events where the sin is taking place. Shall die. Therefore, those places are where you need to touch blood. To bring an atonement. To bring the healing. To bring forgiveness, to bring restoration.
Amen.
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 The Spirit is given to help you hear the voice of God.
Hallelujah.
Because the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that the Spirit of man searches the things of man. So also the Spirit of God does what? Searches the things of God. And he hears what God is saying, ministers to your own spiritual ear, which filters to your own natural ear. So there's a one-way traffic from heaven down into your soul and out. Now, some people think that they can't hear God. It's not true. There are blockages. Sin is a blockage. Carnality is a blockage. You can hear God.
Amen.
If you walk with God, you train yourself, you can begin to hear God. Even a faint whisper you hear. Amen. There are things that we hear, but we push it aside. We are trained to hearing Hollywood. We are trained to hearing NTV. We are trained to hearing all these channels, and we hear our friends. You know, you have someone has 30 Twitter and WhatsApp groups. You have 1,000 messages in a day. They're hearing. Twitter, that the whole world is following you. You are the bride of the whole world. So you have to speak to them and answer to them, and you have no time to address God speaking to you. Shut it down, everyone will speak to you.
Amen.
Shut it down, you will hear God speak to you. Say, my sheep, hear my voice. God is speaking every day, He wants to talk to you. Amen. But the thing is that we have blocked the channel. And I used to have the feeling that God cannot speak to me, I can't hear God. I'm speaking to you from my own experience. I mean, maybe you are better. Amen. Yes. Because I grew up thinking God doesn't speak to me. Someone said God spoke to me. I said, how come? How did God speak to him? How did he know? How? But now I know better. Amen. That my spirit is a transmitter. That spirit in you is a transmitter. It hears heaven and connects you to heaven. Amen. If you don't use it, when time runs out, say, oh boy, too bad though, we're going back. Body says, oh boy, I'm going to from where I came. My friend, go and report yourself to God. So the soul has to go to God. And Bible says that when you call, you must not come empty. Amen. It says now, how much of Christ do you have? How much change, how much conversion of your soul has, how much can you hear? How much can you see God? How much of God have you touched? What is the reality of God in the realms of your soul? That is the game. That's all it's all about. Amen. So here it's very clear. It's clear. It says that He has given the blood to do what? To make atonement for the soul. Atonement means reconciliation, restoration, bringing peace. Breaking down the wall of fire, it goes on and on and on. So that's what the blood is. And it doesn't stop there. Even when you are sleeping, the blood is still speaking. And remember, this voice, that blood has a voice. Said that the blood of Jesus does what? Speaketh better things. It must be a spirit. Is that correct? The blood of Jesus is a spirit. It's an ancestral spirit. Is anybody in this room who has seen the blood? You saw the blood. Praise God for you. But you know it is there because it's a spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's stronger than the superior spirit. It's stronger than the lower spirit. It's stronger than Kalin. It's stronger than It's stronger than Igbo, Yoruba, Nigeria, English, America. It's the ancient spirit coming from before time. Amen.
Amen.
That is the spirit that is running in me. So
Amen.
I belong to a new nation.
Hallelujah.
Called Zion.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So now when you begin to come into it, the game changes. So this is a covenant. This place is a covenant. You now become the covenant child of God. Now some radicals have taken the lower one that runs all over Kampala and Nigeria and says it's the supermarket. The point are here. Say, so God give me that shoe. God's my own. God that wants the house, He gives you. Because He has come in that child. Anything you want, your father gives you. That's the principle that He's doing. Why don't they say, God, I want to be able to take me to the world? God, I want to be righteous. Yeah, my father, you are holy. Say, be you holy as I am holy. So from today, I am holy. Have you heard that? Feel like their God is their belly. Right? It's belly they are preaching. But you can walk with the person. Say, God, you are holy. So I want to be holy like you.
Amen.
You are righteous.
Yes,
I want
God.
To be righteous like
Hallelujah.
You. Lord, you are loving. I want to love like
Amen.
You. God, you are light. I want to be light.
Yes,
that is the covenant.
Amen.
So God is restoring the soul back.
Yeah.
Bringing you back. You are on the pathway of climbing back to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So that is where it starts. That's what it means to be born again. Born again is not a cliche. Say after me, from today. That's not what it is. It is an experience of the soul. It is light coming, judgment. It is coming into a year. The eyes of your understanding.
Hallelujah.
The throat, everything is all open.
God.
Say, my God, so I have the Father. to heaven is like this. You are rolling and shouting and all over the place. Your life changes. You cut off your brain, turn around and say, no, I've seen something. He says, you are mine. Yes, I'm mine. God, because you have seen something. There's a new reality. God can never be God anymore because you are here, you are seeing visions. You are hearing, you are doing this. Amen.
Amen.
That is it. I'm going to have to go on. Now, that's not all the story. Now, remember, God wants this thing, this dimension, is the soul that must find its way. Alright, so this is just a reception. We are just still reception, just beginning matter. So, the soul must come to a place of separation. Remember the second day of creation is actually the story of the soul. Genesis 1, the story of the soul. Summarized in one chapter. It says, you must separate the firmament, the waters above, and the ones down. So it's a place of separation. It's a place of consecration. So in the beginning, it says, let there be light. Light comes into your soul. God must separate the light of the darkness. Amen. If not, the darkness will swallow it. So when you are born again, you must come out from among them. You cannot take a little light and go there. So come sit down. So God says, come out of our mouth. Be ye separate. So that is the message of this. And this surprisingly, well not surprisingly, this is the crisis point. This is the break point of the church. Because this is the place where people come and they go back or they move forward. This is the place. So we're looking at very briefly, the message of the deliverance is one, it's a message of consecration. It's a message of sanctification. And finally, it is a message of baptism. So we can never do so. Of course, there's a church. It says, our message is holiness. Well, holiness cannot only be a message now. You have to go on. Alright? Yes. Then what's the consecration? Consecration means what? Separation from the vile, the unclean. God puts you apart. Separated from God. The word holy is taken from whole. You are set apart for God's use alone. But you see, what God sets apart, it doesn't leave it. He comes to make it clear. So God sets you apart to be continually purified. So that is the concept of sanctification. So God sets you apart to clean you up. So Jesus says you are clean by the words that you have heard. So when you come to the word of God, it cleans you up. So this is the place naturally where the priests will wash. The priests will wash before they go into the holy place. Remember, this outer court was the place where all Israelites, all the Levites, everybody functioned. But the holy place was the place where only the priest functioned. So the priest will normally wash. This is the priest. This is the Levite. And this was only Aaron, the high priest. So you can see it's standing up. And Aaron is a type of Christ. So Christ is the high priest. So let me put it in. Right. So Christ is our high priest. Physically, when he resurrected, he had to go to God to make an offering. Because on the day of atonement, that special day, the high priest will go through all the way and make an offering of the blood. Okay. So this is transferred right now. This is the box, and then this is the cherubims, And then God told them that I will meet you between the wings of Jericho. Okay? So the second experience is the labor. The labor was a basin that had water. Okay? So the third message of this basin is the water. The water is is for cleansing, washing. But the water was also a grave, a watery grave. And the Red Sea is an example of the watery grave. So when they came to the Red Sea, what happened? It drowned all of them. The two people were drowned, one came out alive. So the people of God resurrected. The Egyptians, what happened to them? They are still there as it is today. So God buried them in the water. Oh. Amen. Amen. So baptism means you must bury. And then you come out. But what is God burying? God is burying Egypt. The old nature. The old life. The old history. Everything buried. So he says that we arise in newness of life. Alright? So that newness of life is to enter the promised land. So this is the promised land. That's the promised land. That's the sanctuary. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the sanctuary. That's where it happens. Okay. So the people of God had to enter into Canaan. So this is Canaan. It's also the realm of Christ. Okay. I remember it is the joining of the soul. It's the soul that is moving. It's the mind that is moving. So this is God's process of recovering the mind, recovering the soul, recovering the emotions, recovering the senses. All those that everything is working at the same time, because God is a multi-dimensional God. He walks and talks at different levels at the same time. So now baptism, we know the baptisms are in three. There is the one in water, that's natural. Natural level baptism, where a man baptizes you, but not into a denomination, but into Christ. Amen. Second baptism is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Alright? And we showed it the other day. So here is the Spirit of God. And according to our picture, the whole thing centers on the soul. So God wants the soul to be touched. So the Holy Ghost must come into your soul, into your spirit. So this is what happens at the time of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So a deposit of man, this is man. So this is our man here. So baptism of the Holy Ghost deals with one third of you. He still has not got you to where he's going to, which is your soul. Alright? So the baptism in water is a prophecy. It's a prophecy to your soul that I'm going to bring you into Christ. So the Bible talks about Christ in you, the hope. So when you get born again, there's a seed of Christ that comes in. Blood, this blood brings the seed of Christ into you. But you see, it's just a seed. That seed has no influence on the nature of your mind. So you still have your natural mind, your natural Kenyan mind, my natural Nigerian mind is still functioning. At the same time, Christ is also there. Sometimes I switch to it, but the majority of the time, what is happening? I am working with my natural Kenyan, Nigerian mind. So, there has to be a change. So God told Abraham, you must come out from your nation. You must come out from your tribe. You must come out from your family. You must stop thinking like a Kenyan man. You must stop thinking like a Nigerian man. You must stop thinking like your tribe man. So, this is a revolution. So you must start rejecting all those concepts and principles and all that. And as you are doing that, you are putting off the old man. Bible calls it the old man. And what are you doing? You are putting on the new man, which is Christ. Amen. So that's what the church is supposed to be doing. They're not supposed to ask you, have you fulfilled all the conditions of the family before you want to marry again? Rather, this is going new and break it down. So, quickly, there is nothing like that. Dude. However, whatever you call it, it's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. There are four or five scriptures that mention Dadar. Okay, we can discuss it later. None of them is from God. Mm-hmm. Yes. The only one God put is a punishment. Mm-hmm. So if a man rapes a woman, he must pay a price for her virginity. I say 50 shekels of silver. So, it was a punishment money. It's punishment money. There's another place. The other one asked Saul, said, that boy, I want to kill him. Then you can bring 100 foreskins of the Philistines. You go and meet a man, you want to take the foreskin. You do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you want to reach out. You'll be a dead man. So that by it he will kill. So it was a murderous spirit. Or the spirit of murder. In function. The other one was a rascal shaman. Hammer. You went and raped another one. Is it not so? Before the man says, no, don't worry, I will pay that. Nobody asked him, say, I will pay that. Because that was the tradition of his father. In the old time, men married by capture. You say, yeah, like it. You capture her, she's your wife. His wife captured.
Still happens, isn't it?
You're talking. That's the tradition of marriage by wife capture. You can't even more than you take. So she saw her and took her. Abimelech saw her, said that what happened? He took her, brought him to her house. They came to the guy and said, look, you're a dead man. If you don't give the man his wife, you come to my God. So who is? Say your sister. No, he's not your sister. I said, see my hand on my leg. Carry your wife and go. So there's no place where God says, you want to marry a wife, you will pay the dowry. No, because Jesus has already paid the price. So you are born to the price. You are purchased. Amen. Amen. So the principle of Christian marriage is laid out clearly. Genesis 24 is there. We'll talk about it later. There's no place where it tells you you must pay this, you must pay that price. Okay? There's a legal one, the legal woman, she says, she's looking at me. Yeah, it's there, the laws of the land. It tells you what to do to marry. Okay? That's a different thing altogether. But according to our own laws, the laws of Christ, it is a different thing. Amen.
Amen.
So it's all about the elite thinking, the mind, the tradition. You know what you do when somebody dies? Burial right. You say that shall make you look cut for your head. You shall not defy yourself for the dead. Huh? It's all there. You don't go and you say, let the dead bury the dead. If the dead people, they say, we want to enter the grave. Let them enter. Come back. It's not the problem. Let the dead bury the dead. You're a servant of God. God worship God. Amen.
Amen.
So there's a very clear line. Burial practice, death practice, marriage, raising up children. When you're raising up, you raise up your children as sons of God, not lawyers and doctors. So they are lawyers, so the lawyers who are sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. You understand? So those principles are there, and they are things to change our mind, our mentality, and our focus. So we are living in Kenya. I was born into Kenya, but I am from heaven.
Amen.
Amen. So God is raising up sons of God. Who are born in this land, who have overcome the spirit of the land, and because you have overcome, they can give life and deliver those who are under the bondage of that spirit. You cannot overcome a spirit you submit to. That's the rule of warfare. You cannot submit to a spirit and expect to overcome the spirit that is in there. No. You must begin to resist that spirit. Mahatma Gandhi, when he came, he said, "You Indian people, you want you to send them fine. Take away the English clothes. Go and wear cotton from India." They brought all their English dress and burnt them and began to wear Indian sari and cotton. So the first sign of resistance. And today they are independent. Once independent, give devil his own material. And go and wear heaven material.
Amen.
I think you grow into independence.
Yes.
So we cannot be a people of the world that will say we want to be free. You can eat. It doesn't work. Okay? So now we have, so I can go in now. So that brings us, so we are making an advancement into the sanctuary. Now in the sanctuary you have the lampstand. And then you have the table of shewbread. This table had 12 loaves of bread. Okay, so that's 6 on each side. And then you had another table, what you call the golden altar. It was the table where incense was offered. So this is the third station, this is the fourth, and this is the fifth. And then inside the tabernacle, here you have the sixth, and then you have the seventh. So there are 7 experiences. And you know 7 is the number of perfection. So the soul is climbing a ladder. It's climbing a ladder, isn't it? And it's getting closer. Amen. You know, Jesus has, somebody had that vision. Jesus said, "Look, he looked at my time and said, I see a ladder. And I've seen angels ascending and descending." Those angels are your souls. Amen. So the soul of men are ascending. God wants you to ascend into Christ. Alright. So these are the 7 steps that you find. So we have done 1, 2, now we're going into 3. And just a word here, that the entrance of the tabernacle, is the door. It's called the door. Jesus said, "I am the door." The door is a ministry. It's a ministry that brings you into the sanctuary. This is the holy place, and this is called the sanctuary. And it's the ministry that brings you. There are some ministries that will not bring you in. So it's not just enough to say, "Well, anywhere they are doing church, let me go." Because you might end up going around and around. Before long, you're out. You must find the ministry that will bring you in. So there are 5 pillars here. They represent ministry. So here you have 4 pillars. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know what 4 stands for? Tribulation. So 1 is 5. 1 is 4. You see, through much tribulation you do all this. You enter the kingdom. Okay, that tribulation is to the flesh. Tribulation to your flesh means your nature, your personality, your history, your ancestry. You must do violence against break it down to be able to have an access into God. Because the things that put us down are our ancestral connections, our personal, you know, the things in our hearts, our emotions, and so on. Okay? So there's a true ministry that brings it. Now, when we talk of baptism, I was saying that The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God coming into your spirit. Now, the purpose of that is that that Spirit of God in your spirit will now bring your soul into Christ. So the Bible says that by one Spirit we are baptized into Christ. Okay, so the Spirit of God is here and is bringing Christ to my mind. He's bringing Christ to my desire, into my will. He's bringing Christ into my... And then of course, the middle is the heart. This is the heart. So, the Spirit of God is also working in my heart. There is a spirit of deception in the heart of man. That is that darkness that goes on. It's a spirit of deception. And it is the light of God that can judge it. Okay? So the Spirit of God begins to function. And that is what the lampstand shows. The lampstand has several lights. The lampstand has seven lights. And if you look at this picture very well, you will notice something. Now it's a dark place. Is that correct? It's to be a very dark place. There's no window. Because if I draw it, you know, it will be, everything here is covered. So there's a little door. So it must be a very dark place. Amen.
Amen.
Out here is free. But it's time. Like 6 o'clock in the evening, you don't have to start running inside. Because it's going to go dark. And that is the darkness that has come into the outer court. The Pentecostal realm is getting into darkness very, very fast. Because the world itself is getting into that. You understand? Obama made sure that we crossed. I don't know whether it is the second six. You know there is six. I don't know which one. I don't know whether he brought the second one and made sure he wrote it very, very well and pushed us into the third. So we are gradually getting to the third six. And when the third six comes, it's total darkness. That means the fullness of the rebellion of man will be walking on in Kenya Street. Death will be walking. So that's what we're going to do. So before that comes in, you and I must be inside here.
Amen.
Because that's the protection God has made.
Hallelujah.
You must find yourself in this place. Because that is the safety. God. This is the ark, remember? So I can write the ark. Would that be correct?
Yeah.
This is the ark. Jesus is the ark. And trouble is coming. He said, Noah, build the ark. You are going to build the ark. You are Noah. So you build the ark and you will. But who put ark? It was God that put Noah in the ark and did what? Shut the door. Amen. So there is a place of safety. And that place is Christ. So that is the story. So the Spirit of God that is given to you is to bring you into that place of safety. To bring your mind into the place of safety. That's the first thing that God sees, is your mind. God wants to bring my mind into Christ. In fact, He wants me to reject my mind and what? Put on the mind of Christ. Amen. So the major work of the lampstand or the spirit is to bring enlightenment. Is to bring an inner light. Amen. Oh, you are tired?
Yes.
You're getting tired. Okay. Amen. Amen. So there is a light and there is a breath. Yeah? Two of them are light for the soul. Do you understand?
Yes.
Two of them are light for the soul. They're different types of light. One is the light of the oil, the other one is the light of the breath. Because the entrance of the world is what? Bring there light. Amen. Okay, good. So this lampstand, I don't know how far we can go before we get to break. We're already 2 hours, 1 hour, okay, 1 hour 24 minutes. Okay. We can take. Okay, then another. Yeah. Okay, so we can do that 20 minutes more. Okay, very good. All right. So we'll just introduce this. So what will come? We'll just. All right. So the understanding is that the soul is prepared. This is the preparation. But the place where the soul is converted is in the holy place. And then the place where the soul is married is in the most holy place. So if you think of that, the wise virgins, it says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Is it not? Enter ye into where? The bedchamber. So this is the bedchamber. But first of all, you must get oil to go into the bedchamber. You understand? Now this is what this transition is in what the church is not doing. We're not moving in. Pastor cannot move in. But there's already one pastor there. We're not the pastor, it's a shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd. So every other shepherd has been sacked.
Amen.
So if we're coming in here, we're coming in one by one.
Yes.
Mm. One by one. Because we must enter into the tummy.
Yes, under the
because the high priest is going to go in. So he must be inside the tummy of the high priest.
Yeah.
So it is a one by one action. It cannot be group action. So yes. So it is every soul. Every soul must enter. Every soul must relate to Christ. Don't you understand? Now, let me give you the scripture. In Luke 24, something happened. There were these two disciples on the way to the Emmaus, isn't it?
Yes.
They were going. And Jesus joined them. And they did not know that Jesus had been there. Is that what is happening amongst us? We are not seeing. The soul is dark. Alright? So it's not to say that he began to break the bread. And what happened?
Their eyes.
Yeah. Their eyes. So somebody is in control of opening your eyes. And that person is who? Jesus. We must come back to Jesus.
Amen.
We must restore our first love.
Amen.
We must restore our relationship with Him. Because He's the one that will open your understanding. So if you don't have a God, you must have a God now. There must be a personal connection with Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus opened the understanding. Now, these two experiences are the experiences of the soul, are the experiences of the mind. So in other words, it is my mind being enlightened. So if we come to the table, this is the table here. This is the table. It is my mind also being enlightened. Okay? So let me write something that will make it very clear. This is Zion. But this is Mount Zion. Do you know another mountain? I know another one. Called Sinai. Is there a difference? Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. Something happened on Mount Sinai. What was it? David, so you want to go to Messiah? Yeah, everybody there. You want to go to Messiah? Who wants to go to Messiah? The Egyptians will finish you. But there's another mountain you can go to. What is that one? Alright. So it's only your soul that can go to Zion. Do you understand? So the shewbread, the table of this feeding is the feeding of the soul. It is the feeding of your mind. Therefore, it is perception. It is revelation. It is the revelation of Christ. It is Christ feeding your soul directly.
Amen.
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 Mount Sinai, God came and began to speak to Moses, isn't it? And said, Moses, write. First of all, God wrote. He went and broke it, came back, saw you, use your hand, and write. And now, God is one writing upon the tables of your heart. Amen. Amen. So this is a place of revelation. And this revelation brings enlightenment. Because it says the entrance of your word will do what? Will bring light. Alright? Good. But there is a very important feature that I want to show here. This table has two crowns. It has crowns. So you make the border of crown. One crown was pointing up. That's sonship, dominion. There's another crown. The main one is what? Pointing down. That's judgment. Now, the word of God must come to judge the darkness in my soul. And it is that judgment of darkness in my soul that gives me the authority to have dominion over sin, darkness, the world, tradition, and so on. Amen. So, the word of God was with two edges. One is for judgment, one is for upliftment. Amen. So if you're hearing the word, it's not judging the flesh. It makes you feel uncomfortable. Feel comfortable with the word and all that. That is not the true word of God. And that's what the devil has done. He has built Bible school. He has built ministries. And he's preaching a very watered down version that is not troubling the soul at all. The soul is not changed. In fact, the soul is not comfortable now. Everybody in Nigeria is born again. Every governor in Nigeria is born again. The president is born again. Everybody is born again. Do you know why? Because the gospel we are preaching is a watered down version. Before it was repent or perish. Repent or perish. Everybody ran away. But now I brought out the ground. So you have to choose the word that you are going to hear. The true word of God must judge the darkness. So on the fourth day, this is the fourth day of creation. He said he made light to do what? To give direction to the world. Yeah, he made greater light to rule over the day. To rule over the night. It's the word that makes you rule. And have that dominion. Amen. So if the word of God is not making you have dominion, then check that word. It must be the word of a man, not the word of God. The word of God is sharp, piercing to the divine asunder of what? Of the soul and spirit. And he said, the same man, he searches, it's the discerner of the thoughts. When the word is coming, it's coming, it's cutting sharp. You know, it has nobody, sharp knives. And it is what circumcising the soul. Don't you understand? He takes it away the first king. And he says that the true Hebrew is the one inwardly. Because that's where the circumcision is what? Inwardly. So God must circumcise my soul. And that is what enables me to come into the promised land. Don't you understand? Because on that day, he said, look, say Joshua, bring them. He said, circumcise them again. And it was when they were circumcised that they could enter. So right now, there's a lot of carnalities. You know, the soul is covered over where our old ways, the old natures and all that. And we're carrying it to the church. So you have a Miss Christian Nairobi. Miss Kenya. Miss Christian Kenya. Have you ever heard of that before? This world of Christians. The meaning of this world is a born again Christian. So, yes, this is context that's coming. So, what are we saying? The world has come. Therefore, you need sharp words. And for those of us, as an individual, the sharp knife must visit your wardrobe.
Amen.
You must visit the mascara. You must visit the black one. You must visit the long skirt, the short skirt, the trousers. You know, the ones you should wear inside your bedroom is now on the street. I won't mention that one. I don't even know how people enter into those things. I don't know how people enter into those things. Sharp knives. But this is. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the sharp knives must run wild. You know something? Genesis 24 says he put flaming swords to guide the way where? Into the garden. Want to come back? Get ready for the sharp knives. Amen. So you can go on and so the true word of God cannot be compromised. And that's how you know the word of God. He says, on this bread you put frankincense. Yeah? Frankincense speaks of righteousness. Righteousness has an aroma. Amen. When you see the true word, you can feel the aroma. You know this one is fresh bread. When you say bread, it's what was taught in the Bible in 1960. There are 50 in it in 2017. School bread. Darkness has overtaken it many, many years. And they're still preaching it. So it's handout from one generation to another. But we're speaking of the true anointed word of God. It's fresh. And it is meant to bring bitterness to the soul. So that when I ate the word, that was Ezekiel. So it was sweet in my mouth. It was what? It brought repentance. Deep down in my soul. Somebody was talking about how to overcome. I gave you some practical tips. There's something I call conference lifeline. It's my own way of helping me. Conference lifeline. What do I do when I go to a conference? I'm always praying. I'm always listening to scripture, taking down notes. Go back in the night to read the notes and all that. So if you want to change your appetite, you adopt conference lifeline. Then on top of the conference lifestyle, you now put your own vocation. If you are a seamstress like our sister, you put it. So it's conference lifestyle plus seamstress. Conference lifestyle plus lawyer. Alright? Now when you start doing that, many things will start falling off. And anything you do for 2 weeks becomes a habit.
3 weeks.
21 days. To make sure. It's a habit. What habits are gone? So it's easy to form a habit and also to share with people. So if you decide to say, look, this month of April, May is change of habit. In fact, it's actually change of their lifestyle. So we speak of lifestyle change. You change your whole function. What do you do when you wake up? What do you do when you're at work? When you're driving to work? What do you do with your free time? When you close work, what do you do with it? What do you do with you have an office to yourself? What do you do? Some other aggressive people, the Bible is laying on the ground. Earphone, they are writing a report for the UN. Do you know those people? Message is and the Lord said to Moses, so the rebels are coming in Goma. Amen. That's called aggression. Aggression. So, one hand you are writing the report, on the other hand you are carrying a weapon. That's how they build the wall. Amen. So, if you think that you are going to come and you must both hands as your work. So, you are doing your work and you are doing what you are writing. You know, they are listening. Listening, you know, any small, you're going to the toilet, close it down and pray. Right? So, that aggression you can, and you need it. You try 1 day fasting, 2 days, 3 days. You can even try 7. You build it up to 10 days. Amen.
Amen.
You tell the flesh, say, sit down. My inward man must rise. And when you begin to feed your soul, you know your soul feeds on the energy of heaven. Before long, you become a mature person, because a mature man knows that you can hear the cry of your soul. A child doesn't hear, he thinks you want to eat more chocolate. Your soul is crying, you go and buy more chocolate. You go and buy more ice cream. Alright, feeding the body. The soul is crying. It's like a child, when a child cries, we will cry. Food, cry. Sleep, cry. Every day is cry. Because it's a child. But when your soul grows, you can feel the test of your soul for God. Amen. And you can begin to feed your soul. And the more you feed your soul, the more it's growing strong. And the devil will be running away from you. You know that there's an energy emitting from your soul. The energy of God that comes to you flows out. Amen. Look at the sun is up. Because the energy you are feeding me. That's how the life of God flows through you. Everybody in your neighborhood will say, that woman is crazy. What do you mean? All the devils are running. Because there's an energy coming from you. All the sicknesses in your body begin to fly out. Yes. Because your soul in the Genesis, I didn't get that. The mind feeds the soul, it feeds the body. Okay, no. That is God's divine order. That your mind gives life to your body. If your mind is sick, your body will be sick. If God heals your mind, then your body. Say that you might prosper and do what? Be in health as what? Your soul, your mind prospers. Amen. That's God's hospital. You are in health. It's different from healing. So you can come into the place of health where the life of God is energizing your body. All the cells, all the things that have gone wrong are coming back. That is the resurrection. Amen. So resurrection is an experience, not a day. So you are walking into resurrection. Every day you are arising. Every day your body is changing. You are becoming new and newer. You don't need to go to other shops to make you. The glory of God is radiating through you. Amen. Like a natural inner beauty.
Yes.
That comes forth. So that's what the tabernacle is teaching us. That our soul begins to climb into God. And of course, He's preparing us for the big place. And that is this golden order. Where the soul is offered. So, I think we can close now. So, let's stop at this point. When we come back, we will close properly. You know, but what we wanted to do was to give us a total global view of what God is putting on the table for you. Say, this is my covenant. This is my promise. This is what I'm calling you for. So God is raising up sons of God. And I am so excited to be part of it. And I hope you too will be more excited.
Amen.
To be part of it.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.